Hello and welcome to another Directions Magazine podcast. This is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief. During the ESRI Senior Executive Seminar in San Diego on July 7th, I had the rare honor of speaking with one of America's best-known journalists. In this exclusive interview, I sat down with James Fallows, national correspondent for The Atlantic. Fallows was a former speechwriter for President Jimmy Carter, a past editor of U.S. News & World Report, and a winner of the National Magazine Award. He's a Harvard graduate and a Rhodes Scholar, and I asked him about the intersection of GIS and journalism. I hope you enjoy the interview. Good. Thanks for taking the time to talk with me. So I'm curious, what brings you to a geospatial technology conference?
There's a personal and professional reason. The personal reason is I grew up in Redlands, California, the home of ESRI, and my family and the Dangermond family were friends growing up. You know, Jack and I weren't contemporaries, but my dad was a doctor for his family, etc. So I've known this company for a long time. The professional reason is I've been interested as a journalist in the continued application of technological tools to help expand the way reporters can both understand the world and explain it to their readers. And my wife and I are about to begin a new project that will rely crucially on GIS technology to both plan what we do and explain it to Atlantic readers and radio listeners. So that's, and I'll be talking about it here. It's going across small towns in the country via small plane. I'm a longtime pilot and have gone across the country many times and think there are interesting stories about the non-big city texture of American life that we can help explain this way.
Yeah. The media has kind of grasped geospatial technology maps in general ever since Google stepped their foot into this. They're probably now looking at using real-time information. Do you see them really embracing it to the extent that they should?
I think that what I'm going to talk about at the conference is the next step that ever simpler GIS and mapping tools can create for journalists. Over the last 10 years ago, many journalists would have been challenged by the idea of routinely expanding their audience and their coverage via the web, of adding photos and videos and audio to what they do. Now that is part of the normal arsenal of what anybody brings to this task, they're recognizing whether it's amateur people on the streets in Cairo or Beijing or whatever having videos or professional reporters who are adding to their established tools with these new ways they can render what they have seen. I think the next step in that is going to be mapping GIS type tools being brought into the normal range of normal journalists. It still has been, until now, a sort of specialized tool. If you wanted to have a map along with your story, you didn't do it yourself. You had somebody else in the mapping department deal with that, and often that meant that it didn't happen. So, maybe 20 years ago, normal reporters started to learn about using graphs in their stories. And over the last 5 or 10 years, everybody's become a blogger, their own videographer, their own audio recorder. I think soon everyone will become his or her own mapper. And I think that actually is an important step in allowing people to present more of the world more in a more accessible way to an audience.
Yeah. We often have a challenge in explaining to people what spatial thinking is. Can you grasp the concepts? Do you think reporters will begin to integrate that type of understanding into their writing?
Yes, I think it will be a combination of a new way to express things they already know and giving them ways to think about things they don't now know, sort of a new envisioning tool. One of the speakers earlier today had the analogy, I guess it was Jack Dangermond, talking about how Sam Walton, when he was going over the Southeast from a small plane, would see the way towns came together in a different pattern and could say, well, that's where I should have a store. I think that the availability of this new perspective will allow both members of the audience and also reporters, amateur and professional, to think of things in a different way, to see connections, see whether it's environmental sense of how riversheds work or how droughts occur or how city and rural interactions occur. I think that it will, as Google Earth has popularized the idea of flying from place to place for ordinary people, I think the idea for reporters that they can actually use these tools, have an explanatory map that goes along with their blog post, with their on the online version of any other media, I think that will provoke people to think in new ways.
A better storytelling.
Yes, exactly.
Some of the things that we are challenged by is what we would call geographic literacy.
Mm-hmm.
Does things like the Arab Spring, when you can see things happening on a map, does it help both the reader as well as the journalist connect the dots in terms of literacy?
I think that's an excellent point. I once interviewed a historian at Harvard, Jill Lepore, on the phenomenon of geographical ignorance among the American public. And you said, essentially, it's bad, and it's always been bad.
Mm-hmm.
There have been sort of episodic ups and downs. People, by their nature, tend to sort of pay attention only to where they are. And so during World War II, for example, people were very well informed about the Western Pacific or about the exact borders between Belgium and Germany and everything else. The rest of the time, they don't care. I think that the connectedness of world affairs now and these new ways of very easily being able to zoom someplace on an online site, on Google Earth, on your own corporation's map or your own organization's map, I think it will allow people to sort of actuate this, if they hear something's happening elsewhere in the world, they can suddenly envision it in a way that would have been much more difficult if they had to go pull out the big atlas and thumb through it and say, where is Lebanon anyway?
Right. Yeah, I think that the issue we have with kids today, they're probably more in tune with geography than they have with the mobile apps or whatever.
And just to interrupt and give an example, so it's been now about 11 or 12 years since the U.S. was discussing whether to go to war in Iraq, which I was, for the record, I was very much against that. I was arguing this is going to be a problem. I think that if the same mapping tools existed a dozen years ago that exist now, it would be much easier for people to say, look, we talk about Iraq as a country, but it really isn't a country. It's something that was glued together from three different parts of the Ottoman Empire, and here's why there's going to be problems among the Kurds and the Sunnis and the Shia. And so if you could... It was hard to do that a dozen years ago. Now people can say, oh, I see. Well, let's overlay the ethnic groups in Iraq and see where they are. Let's see the language groups. Let's see the religious groups. Oh, I see the problem of trying to run this as a country.
I think what we would like to see is our profession help inform the politician.
Yes.
We heard it here today with the city of Philadelphia. There's a gentleman who's actually trying to run his city on geospatial tools.
Yes.
And we need more of that.
Yes.
And there, it's a real challenge to get that word out and get that message out.
And I think it partly is a matter simply of accessibility. Let's think of the sequence of things. Back when I was growing up, I mean, the baby boomer, the dreaded baby boomer cohort, I learned to type very well because I wanted to be a writer. Many men never learned to type because they were in sort of professional organizations where female secretaries did that. If you look at Mad Men, you don't see any of the bosses typing there. And so the idea of sort of being able to use simply typing, expression by typing, was a sort of channeled thing. Everyone can type now. Most people can take pictures now. Digital cameras made that possible. You didn't have to go to dark rooms and all that. Most people can be their own movie makers now, even their own sound people. I think we're on the cusp now, not yet there, everybody being his or her own map maker. I think as that happens, as it becomes an easy tool, you'll find it easy. It'll be then more natural for people to say, oh, yes, I see what we're talking about with crime patterns in our city. I see what we're talking about, you know, park space or whatever the issue may be. So I think brighter days are ahead.
Good. Well, I want to thank you for your time. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. I appreciate you asking me these questions.
Thanks for joining me on another Directions Magazine podcast. If you'd like to comment about today's interview, you can write to me at editors@directionsmagazine.com. Thanks again, and be sure to tell a friend.